Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break with Sip and Jake, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And the Lincoln Journal star's Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake. Sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Good morning, happy Monday to you. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen in the Early Break. Full show ahead. What a weekend it was in the National Football League. Four games, four epic results. Sip, I've been trying to tell you for a long time to commit more time to the NFL. I know you're writing on Sundays during the fall. I get it. But you watch the action.
Yeah.
On Saturday, on Sunday, and now you understand what I've been trying to say for years and years, right?
It's not like I just stumbled on the NFL.
What is this professional football league you speak of? So this is where all the college players go after their time. I thought they just stopped.
Interesting. Very high level. Yeah. A lot of people at these games.
Kind of entertaining.
Do they have a commissioner? Hey, yeah, I told you. I watched all of the Niners-Packers, thoroughly enjoyed that game, Sort of, if I was going to jump on a bandwagon, it'd be the Niners. I felt genuine glee when the Bills went up on Josh Allen's pass to Gabriel Davis late.
His fourth receiving touchdown of the game, Gabriel Davis.
Gabriel Davis, former Central Florida player.
That's right.
So I know I don't like the Chiefs. I confirm that I don't like them. It was a spectacular weekend of games. I mean, pretty much all of them. You don't want to give short shrift to the Bengals, but I feel like the Bengals, unfortunately, kind of get lost in the discussion a little bit, right?
Yeah, I don't want to go to them off the bat. They were lost in the shuffle because of what happened yesterday.
Right.
But we'll go to Sunday first, then Saturday. We'll go in reverse because the game
is that what you want to do?
Yeah, the game last night, which was seen as a potential Super Bowl. Like people thought this could be the Super Bowl. This is what this team that wins this game goes on. I'm not saying that, by the way. I think the Bengals will have a chance to beat the Chiefs.
Okay.
They already beat them this year in Cincy. But this was viewed as the game, and Sip, it delivered. It delivered all that and more. The Bills with Josh Allen, I mean, what he was in this game was, it felt like at times, a one-man wrecking crew. He ran the ball well. He made incredible passes. And yet Gabriel Davis had four touchdowns, but it was sometimes, fourth down. Here's a heave from Josh Allen for a touchdown to keep the Bills alive and to put them in the lead. Just incredible football by a guy that, the weapons, I think, aren't quite as good in Buffalo as they are in KC. They're good.
Yeah, not quite. They don't have Tyreek Hill.
I mean, Dawson Knox is good, but he's no Travis Kelce.
No, Emmanuel Sanders is fine.
Well, he's old, though.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs was absent yesterday.
He was playing. He just wasn't. He was covered.
Was basically absent. I mean, he didn't do anything. The last I saw in the fourth quarter, he had three catches for 7 yards. He might have got one more.
That's because Gabriel Davis was doing the job for him. They locked him up. They said we're not letting Stephon Diggs beat us, and they let everybody else beat them. I mean, they won the game. The Chiefs win in overtime, 42-36 in this ball game. Holy crap! Sip, there were 17 points scored in the final minute 13.
Dizzy.
Of that ball of the fourth quarter.
It was dizzying. It was dizzying. It was incredible. Now, it was interesting because at halftime, all the analysts, Romo, Cowher, Is it Cowher? Yeah, Bill Cowher. Yeah. All of them were saying, look, get ready. This is going to be an epic second half. And I kind of cringe, like, don't say that. I mean, maybe it won't be. So don't, you don't need to say that. But they're exactly, and nobody
it was
could
epic.
Have imagined
it was
yeah, that it would be that epic. And it, yeah, it was just two great young quarterbacks trading great, great play after great play, right? Two great young quarterbacks. They're not rising as stars.
No, they're already there.
This
feels like, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, Sip, because obviously I think you were watching football more back then, but the beginning of Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. That's what people compare this to, is that this Mahomes and Allen, because they played twice now in the playoffs, back-to-back years they have played in the playoffs in Kansas City.
Yes, it's and becoming a rivalry.
The Bills beat KC in the regular season in KC. Now, the last two postseasons, they have beaten them in KC in epic games where the Chiefs came out the winners, but in epic fashion. This is what it looks like. This matchup, these are two young quarterbacks. These are two very, very well-coached teams that are going to be around for a while. The Bills lived like the Dolphins and Jets did in the shadow of the Patriots for 20 years. Now, someone's got to come out of that shadow, and it appears to be the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East.
I mean, we talk a lot about Josh Allen and what they have on offense, but that's the number one ranked defense, total defense, scoring defense, third down defense. Now, they got winded. People are going to say, that defense just got shredded. It did. They got winded. I mean, there's no doubt about it going into overtime. If you won that toss, you're in great shape because the defenses were winded. Now, we can get into that overtime thing. Like Danny Cannell, I'm reading a tweet from Danny Cannell, the former Florida State quarterback. Josh Allen didn't even get a chance, and that's why the NFL overtime rule is the worst overtime of any sport in the world. Hello? Is it the worst of any in the world? Do you think Brando and Romo – I don't know if Brando and Romo totally understood the overtime rule. It seemed like they kind of knew what was going on.
Nance and Romo.
Nance. Okay.
Nance and Romo.
Jim Nance and Romo. I don't know if they totally did. They did.
No, believe me. They understand the overtime rule. They've seen plenty of games go to overtime.
They did.
Concern you saw at the end of the confusion was they weren't sure if that was a catch by Travis Kelce. They knew the game was over if there was a catch. There was no confusion about, hey.
They didn't explain it very well then. But they put the graphic up, but you got to read that graphic in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second. If the Chiefs score, they win?
Well, if they score a touchdown.
If they score a touchdown, they win. Are you kidding me? So you don't even – Josh Allen doesn't even get a chance to get the ball? So if you win, the coin flip is gigantic in that situation.
Especially in a game that has been high scoring. You know, if it's a game where it's been like 13-13 going to overtime, you feel pretty good about your chances of stopping that team from a touchdown. But
that's true.
When it's 36-all going to overtime and the final minute 13 of regulation resulted in 17 points, then yeah, it feels like it's probably going to be a touchdown by the team that gets the ball and there's the game. So it's not always the worst thing in the world. I mean, it sucked. I mean, it sucked last night to see the Bills go down like that. You know, they were up, Sip, by three with 13 seconds to go in the ball game.
Then you're right. You sent me a text. Why didn't they squib kick?
The Bills made a poor decision.
Yeah, Bills.
When they're up by three with 13 seconds to go.
Squib it.
They kicked off and didn't take any time off the clock because they kicked it through the end zone.
Why? Okay.
I know 13 seconds is minimal in the NFL for a 75-yard drive. They all they needed was a field goal, though, and they have a good kicker. Harrison Butker did miss an extra point, did miss a field goal, but he's one of the best to ever do it. He's up there.
Yeah, he's a boomer. He has a super strong leg.
Right.
And he's 7 of 9 from beyond 50.
And that's a guy that if you gave him a chance, he already messed up earlier in the game. He's not going to mess up again. He's been very, very clutch his entire career with the Chiefs.
So, yeah, they kick it through the end zone. Cowher mentioned it after the game. He didn't say squib like you said it, that the Bills should have squib kicked. But he said you definitely should have kicked off to him and ran that clock, right, and ran some clock. Kick off. I mean, don't kick it through the end zone.
You know, squib it to the...
You could squib it, or you could just hit a conventional kickoff to the one.
To the one,
make them return.
This isn't college where you can fair catch inside the 20 or the 10 and be good.
Right. So but still, 13 seconds. Then, of course, I don't know what the Bills were doing on the Kelce catch. What Romo said was they were playing like a deep shell. That's why he got so
that
open.
Was like super, super prevent defense there, basically.
Yeah. He got that. You shouldn't, Kelce shouldn't be able to get that open on that play. Seriously.
No.
And then the other thing, though, is Tyreek Hill should be banned from sports because he's so fast.
Yeah, I mean, he's a cheat code, man.
Yeah, I don't get that guy.
That touchdown to take the lead with a minute two left before the Bills scored. I mean, he catches the ball in a slant and just bye.
I've never seen.
There's like six Bills that were there. They couldn't chase
it was
him
funny.
Down.
Yeah, he was like wagging his finger at somebody. Like, yeah, you're going to catch
me. Gave him the
me.
Peace sign.
Oh, did he?
Gave him the peace sign, which should be a taunting in the NFL.
Nah, whatever.
But they
no,
didn't
don't
call
do that. Don't throw that.
Oh, well, I don't like taunting, but it is by the rule. They said peace sign specifically gets you a taunting penalty.
Yeah, he is oddly fast.
He is.
Yeah,
he's a flash, man.
I will tell you this. Watching him, I don't understand that kind of speed. I don't. How does a human do that?
And I saw a tweet about this. Like, no more comparisons to Tyreek Hill in the draft. He is one of a kind.
Yeah. Let's stop.
Like
that.
People want to compare Jalen Waddle. He's fast, but he is not that fast.
Oh my God!
Tyreek Hill is one of one.
Thank you.
There's
Jake.
Nobody like
Thank
him.
Thank you, Jake. You're
so
exactly
stop
right.
comparing to
yeah,
him.
Don't. Yeah,
he's
don't.
A freak.
Yeah.
And accept that he's a freak.
Yeah.
And admire the freak.
Yeah, he's a freakazoid. That that play where he ran.
No
in.
No more comparisons.
You're right. They showed that aerial, right? They showed the aerial.
Yeah, they showed the aerial.
And he just ran. It was like he was running against a bunch of eighth graders. It's like, whoa, yeah,
NFL
you're gonna catch
players.
Me, really?
That's the number one NFL defense.
I know.
That not only is not eighth graders, that was the number one ranked defense in the NFL.
Great secondary. I mean,
and
Bills have a great
he's
secondary.
He's like, see ya. Watch this. Yeah. You got speed. Well, bye.
Yeah.
It's the Roadrunner, man.
Yeah, he was scary at the end of that game.
Yep.
I mean, when he catches a crosser, you know, and he has a step and a half on a corner, goodbye. I mean, he's running for a while, right? He's running until somebody has to chase him down, and then that's really hard to do. And he's sort of hard to tackle because he's low. God, he's a pain in the ass. I mean,
he is a pain in the ass.
He's low. You know, he's so low to the ground. And by the way, I wouldn't want to try to tackle their running back, either Clyde
Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, my God.
Well, he's been banged up this year, but boy, he looked pretty healthy in that
game.
Yeah,
he looked good. He looked good. So the NFL, I have only a cursory knowledge of the NFL overtime rule of the pass. It used to be just the first score won, but then kickers got so good, right?
That's probably true. That
the team that won the toss would win like 80% of the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was true sudden death. You get the coin flip. Okay, guess what? Field goal wins the game. Whatever it does. Now, and you're right. The kickers got so good that if that team got the ball, the game was typically over.
So instead of scrapping the rule, the NFL half-assed it. Excuse my language, and made it so a TD wins on the first possession. But if you don't get one, then it's next score wins.
That's
Do you
right.
understand that?
Yep. Yes. Well, yeah, if the team has a chance to, if team one that gets the ball kicks a field goal, the other team can either win with a touchdown or have one more possession if they get a field goal themselves. And then it's truly next score wins.
Right. So I don't know. You could now some people are going to say, okay, if you guys are going to be so critical of the overtime rule, you got to come up with one that is better. Why not play a full 10 minutes? Or give each team a drive from like its own 35 and then move it to midfield if you have to, and then plus 25 or whatever.
I think I'm probably more in that ballpark they start from their own 35. You know, okay. College gets the ball at their own 20 at the opponent's 25 yard line,
right,
so they're encouraging a score to happen in somewhere. You're pretty much putting them in the red zone starting off. But yeah, I'd say you start off the drive at the 30 or 35 yard line, both teams get a chance, and there you go. It's a quick answer.
Yeah, and I know, and I don't want to do this, and I know you don't want either. I don't want the overtime discussion to mar what was one of the best games in NFL history.
It was
incredible.
It truly was. That's a great. I mean, it truly was one of the great games in the history of the league.
Yeah, I don't know.
Drama
don't,
all the way through.
Yeah, and really well played.
Teams. Yeah, there wasn't a bunch of there was not really a bunch of penalties. Mm-hmm. There was no moment of high drama of like something that was I don't know,
like a
controversial
bad hit.
There's nothing controversial,
like a,
right?
Like a Vontaze Burfict
right.
hit.
There wasn't like a controversial roughing the passer right. or personal foul. It was just good football.
Yeah.
Clean football. Beautiful. No interceptions by either quarterback. Sip four touchdown passes for Josh Allen, 3 for Patrick Mahomes. So he had 7 touchdowns and no picks between those guys. And they both ran the ball very, very well. They both had crazy legs in that game.
Yeah, yeah. Allen's the better runner, but
he is, but Mahomes still made it work. Allen is the better runner.
Allen, they called.
He's a truck.
Yeah, he's a truck, and they call design run plays for him, which is odd. You know, I mean, you're talking about an NFL team calling designed run plays for their quarterback. He looks like Frost, except he throws a little bit better than Frost.
I'd say a lot bit better.
I know. I was being facetious.
I was being kind.
I mean, they made a big deal of him jumping that pile, but he didn't look that good jumping it, to be honest. But he's a big boy.
He's fat. I mean, he's pretty fast
now,
for how big he is.
Now, what about the call that would have been hammered over and over if the Chiefs wouldn't have won was the call for an option play that took the ball out of Mahomes' hands and failed miserably.
Chiefs are up by 2 points. That it was 23-21 at that point, and it's 3rd and 1 inside the 10. Right?
I think it's at the 9, something like that.
And you know, Mahomes has been great, like he always is, all game long. And for some reason, you put Travis Kelce
under center
as your quarterback,
under
center.
Yeah, under
and
center.
Run a pitch to, was it Tyreek Hill?
No, or it was Jarrett, it was
McKinnon,
it was
maybe?
It was McKinnon,
Jarek McKinnon, and you needed 1 yard, Sip, and they went backwards too. And they had to kick a field goal, and they go up by 5, which gives the Bills the chance to go take the lead and get a 2-point conversion to go up by 3, which they did.
Yeah, it was an incredible 2-point conversion, too. Oh, that was an incredible play.
That whole drive.
Yeah, it was.
The touchdown was on, what, 4th and 14, something like that?
Yeah, it was. It was 4th and 13. 4th and 13. Yeah, it was 4th and 13.
And like, why is he open?
And he was wide open. Coverage breakdown. I mean, like, I think the defensive back fell down. Great, great route.
But you know, the 2-point conversion where Allen's got to roll to his left, buy time, and then throws a tough pass. It's a great catch in the back of the end zone, 2 feet down.
The quarterbacks were playing as well as they could play. I would say they were playing as well as they can play. Two great quarterbacks playing as well as they can play. And that's, think about what the Bills were doing in that situation, because the crowd was incredible at Arrowhead. I mean, it was incredibly loud. Yeah, the NFL, I'm not going to go on a tirade here, but the NFL is where it's at.
It was beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful league. And this weekend was just
I'll tell you
four incredible football games.
Nobody will say this. I think college football is better.
Yeah.
Nobody in the world are blind. Yeah,
nobody
can say that right now. Well, I think
I know some people are trying. I just shut it down saying you're crazy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You're crazy.
Yeah, really, especially with all the turmoil in college football.
By the way, quick correction. It was everyone thought it was Travis Kelce. It was Blake Bell. Blake Bell, the former Oklahoma quarterback. Who is now playing tight end as a backup with the Chiefs.
Well, Andy Reid's absolutely one of the best coaches in NFL history. His record proves it. But that just shows you even NFL coaches can botch something. And now, you know, I get it. We get the benefit of hindsight. You know what happens if they make the first down. We're all going, wow, Andy Reid, what a mastermind.
Yep. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Anyway, Chris is on the
phone. Let's get a call from Chris on the Honda of Lincoln hotline, 402-464-5685. Chris, you're on early break. Go ahead.
Good morning, Steve J.
Nice to hear from you. I bet the Baldwin Shop has a lot to talk about today.
Well, you know, Steve J., like I told Harrison, I really am a, just when it comes to the NFL, I'm a casual observer. You know, I
sounds like someone over here.
You know, my investments with the University of Nebraska and college football, but I do agree with that statement you said, Steve. College football is going to have some mending to do. I've always thought that the college game had more going for it until the last few years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but this NFL weekend, and like I said, I'm a casual observer. This was riveting football for sure. I just could not get over the drama that all these games had. It was really amazing. But all the road teams, you know, Kansas City was just, you were a whisper away from all the road teams winning this weekend.
Yep. Yeah. First time in NFL history that would have happened.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Incredible. And some of the guys are up here at the shop, Steve Jake, that watch the NFL very closer than I do, they said that it appeared that things were wide open this year. There was no superpower in the league, and they thought that these games, some of these guys thought that these games were going to be awfully close, and it turned out that way. But guys, it was very, very good football over the weekend. I enjoyed watching it. I'm curious. What you guys? You know, I know you guys haven't got on the really on the Rams yet, but I tell you, in the second half of the Rams Tampa game yesterday, I have never seen a team try to give away a football game like the Rams did yesterday.
Bad.
I turned to my wife one time and I said, you know, I think some of these guys for the Rams have money on the box or something.
Don't do that.
I just couldn't get over how they were trying to hand that game to Tampa Bay. But, you know, they pulled it out in the end, and good for the Rams. It's these next two games, these next weekend, ought to be very interesting, Steve Jake. But anyway, guys, hey, great show, Steve. I'm throwing in the word great again.
Oh, thank you.
Not just good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right. Rams-Bucks real quick. I want to get to that because that was the first game of yesterday. We'll get to Saturday's games in a second.
Yeah,
but,
please.
Okay. What Chris said is right. I mean, if you watch the first half, even the first two and a half quarters of Bucks Rams, you probably thought about turning the game off because it looked like a blowout. Let me give you the situation at halftime, Sip.
I'm listening.
The Rams are up 20-3, and they have the ball on the 5-yard line of Tampa Bay with under a minute to go, trying to just either get a field goal or go in for a crippling touchdown to the Bucks.
Okay.
Cam Akers, who had just returned from injury like a game ago, the Florida State product, of course, got hurt early on the season and missed almost all the season. They give him the ball. He fights for yards and he gets tackled at the one and it is he's fumbled. He stripped the ball. Stripped. It appears his head was down, but the ball is coming out. So the Bucks get life. They kneel the ball, going to halftime, still down by 17. It should have been down by 24.
Okay.
Like the Rams were gonna, like they were rolling. They had Cooper Kupp rolling. They had Akers was running well. Stafford was hitting Higby and Kupp and everybody else, and it was just domination. But you give them life, and then you get it back because they score a touchdown. They do go up 27-3 on the Bucs with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. The game appears over. The Bucs go drive down. They get a field goal. Okay, it's 27-6. Like, okay, why you got to go for it? Why kicking a field goal? Okay, it works out. And then the next drive, the Rams fumble. Cooper Kupp fumbles the ball. Bucs get it back. Touchdown. Here we go. 27-13, and then they stave him off for a couple possessions, and then the Bucks go down and eventually and score late fourth quarter to go down by 7.
Okay,
all right,
yeah.
And I gotta take it back a second. The Rams, the Bucks got the ball back.
Okay,
And then the Rams stripped them from a sack, okay? So it appears, by 14, the Rams are going to put this game away. The very first play that the Rams get the ball back, the center snaps it over Stafford's head by 20 yards, and the Bucs recover at midfield. So this should be, it should be a 17-point game, but no, the ball goes back. Eventually, again, the Bucs score. The Rams are up by 7 with about 2 minutes to go. On the second play of the drive, Cam Akers again is stripped. He's fumbled. Ndamukong Suh forces the fumble. Levante David picks it up. The Bucs go down to score. It's 27-all.
Jeez.
Somehow. Yeah. I mean, the Rams, as Chris said, they gave the game away. The Bucs did not take that. The Rams said, here and here. You want some more? Take it again. Take it. Please. Please, God, just take the game. We don't want it. And then finally, Matt Stafford says, enough's enough. I'm going to find Cooper Kupp. They go deep.
Yeah, what happened by that? How did Cooper Kupp get so
well,
open?
Well, Todd Bowles ran a blitz.
Yeah, he ran a blitz. that's what Bill Cowher was saying. That I don't know why you do that in that situation. I don't know if it was a zero blitz or not, but they left Cooper Kupp open.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Not wide open, but too open.
Well, he had two huge plays in a row in that drive.
Too open. Okay, so I didn't watch that game, but I did watch Saturday night every play of Niners Packers, and I thought it was a great game.
If I had told you, Sip, that the Niners would give up an opening drive touchdown, would not score an offensive touchdown themselves, and would win the football game in Green Bay, what would you have told me before that happened?
I mean, it was a weird game. It was a weird game because the Packers look like, I mean, their level of dominance was early. That you thought they would win like 31-13.
Their opening drive was without a flaw. It was perfect.
Right. But so
down the field for 7.
It's funny because you say how can the Niners win at Lambeau with Jimmy G? Well, they didn't. I mean, Jimmy G was not that good. It was special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they blocked a field goal, then they blocked that punt, which was the blocked punt heard around the world. I mean, it was an incredible moment. It was an incredible moment. You just thought, holy God, the Packers are going to lose this game.
they have no business losing the way they've started off, the way that they're stopping the offensive, the 49ers.
Yeah, I think Matt LaFleur's 22-2 at Lambeau. I mean, you just thought, okay, well, the Packers are going to – they'll
find a way.
And then bam, they get in there. Jimmy Ward. It wasn't Jimmy. Jimmy Ward blocked the field goal. It was a bigger dude. It was one of their big dudes, linemen, that blocked the punt. And then the rookie safety from USC recovered it and went in. And that was incredible.
It felt like Nebraska versus Iowa where they blocked the punt too.
Yeah, but still the Niners had to kick a 52-yard field goal. Now think about the special teams in that game. The Niners blocked a field goal to end the first half. That was a huge momentum.
Sure was.
That was a huge momentum play. If you watched it, they blocked the Packers' field goal right before halftime, and they went into the locker room. The dudes were throwing up their fists going into the locker room. They were jacked.
They knew what it meant.
Yeah, and then they block a punt late, and then they still have to have Evan McPherson kick a 52-yard field goal.
That's Bengals.
Oh, Robbie Gould.
Robbie Gould.
Still had to kick a 45-yard field goal to win it.
Right.
Robbie Gould
in
is
the
gold.
Snow. Yeah. There was snow on the ground. It was snowing.
Robbie Gould just nailed it in the
snow. By the
way,
he's never missed a field goal in the postseason, Robbie Gould.
I think I had that number and I don't have it. It's a big number. It's not like 5 for 5.
No.
Get it. Okay, I said Evan McPherson. He kicked the 52-yard field goal for the Bengals to beat Tennessee.
20 for 20 on field
goals.
Robbie Gould is 20 for 20 in his career on field goals in the playoffs.
Think about that for a second. And then think about the kick he made. Like you said, at Lambeau, snow swirling, wind, it's 0 degrees. I think it's like 10, but with the wind chill, it's 0. And he's booting the ball from 45 like it's nothing. Okay, Evan McPherson, same thing. Hits a 52-yard field goal to win it for Cincinnati.
This is a rookie kicker, by the way. Rookie.
Rookie from Florida. The only kicker drafted last year.
And they were mocked by that. Say, oh, wow, kicker in the 5th round. Oh, yeah. Yes, kicker in the 5th round. Look what he's doing. We're in the AFC title game. So shut the heck up.
Look what he's doing. He's looking. Jake's looking off into the space.
Yeah, Bengals-Titans kicked things off on Saturday. Wow. I mean, that game, what a game was also epic. And Ryan Tannehill had a chance to prove that he's not a liability, and he did. He threw three interceptions. He had a great touchdown throw to A.J. Brown, but he threw three interceptions.
I'll tell you what another liability was the Bengals' offensive line.
Yeah. Is there nine sacks in that game?
Burrow got sacked nine times. He got sacked nine times and threw for 340 yards.
Yeah, I know.
It's incredible. The guy's incredible. Oh. Burrow's incredible.
Yeah, he is.
But they
got to
figure out something up front. I mean,
right now, I looked at the opening line for the title game. The Chiefs were 7.5-point favorites as of this morning, early line.
So, well, they get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, they get after the quarterback.
Rams are a 3 to 3.5-point favorite against the Niners. Well, I believe they beat them like four straight times, though. The Niners have the Rams' number at this point.
You cannot pick the Bengals to win that game.
You can't, but then you remember what happened in December. I mean, those two teams played an incredible game where Ja'Marr Chase had like 260 receiving yards against the Chiefs, and T. Higgins was also great, and Tyler Boyd. I mean, they shredded the Chiefs secondary, which Josh Allen also did, last night.
Now,
they took out Stephon Diggs, but everyone else said, all right.
Yeah, you're right.
Here's Cole Beasley. Here's Gabriel Davis.
Yep.
Here's Dawson Knox.
Yep.
And here's, by the way, Josh Allen, who's a horse.
Yep.
You can't stop him.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. That's a good point. The Bengals have Ja'Marr Chase.
They got more than that. They got T. Higgins. They got
Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins is good.
They got Joe Mixon. I mean, they have a horrendous offensive line. They do.
Okay.
And Joe Burrow is a magician for not getting severely hurt this year behind that horrendous offensive line. But they already beat the Chiefs. They're not going into that game fearful of what the Chiefs are going to do. They've already beat them this season.
No, you're right. I shouldn't go so hard on the Chiefs being a deadlock cinch to win that game after the Bengals went into Tennessee, into Nashville, to Nissan Stadium, and were outmanned. I thought, you tell me, you're the NFL expert on this show, but I thought Tennessee, the talent, they were better at basically every position except for quarterback and then Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, Tennessee's a better team.
Yeah, but we all know
Tannehill,
that
quarterback
play is what carries you in this league.
It didn't carry the Niners. I mean, that's the
true
thing. There's anomalies.
That's the anomaly.
Yeah, there's anomalies.
But look at the rest of the game. Stafford was great for the Rams in that game.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I mean, the
Brady's Brady.
The fumbles were not his fault. That was fumbles, not picks.
Right.
Fumbles. Stafford was really, really good for the Rams. Joe Burrow was really, really good for the Bengals.
Yeah, I think he threw for 348.
And both guys in Bills Chiefs were awesome. And
incredible.
What was an incredible game. And one player has to win. That's Mahomes.
Right.
But Josh Allen deserved to move on for the way he played.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in general, I mean,
you're right.
Garoppolo was not great at all.
No, he was.
But that's the outlier, though.
It's not even close to great.
Joe Burrow is the guy that's overcoming a horrendous offensive line. And he has great talent otherwise on the offense. But he's just the next great quarterback.
Yeah, he is. He's special, and he was special in that game to absorb that sort of pounding and then hit Ja'Marr Chase on that play late to help get him into field goal position. It looked like they were playing 7-on-7. It was like we got to play. But that's a tough pass to make downfield. I mean, what Burrow does is use the whole field. Do you notice what I'm saying?
Yes.
Tannehill can't do that.
Tannehill
and I'm talking about 52 yards from sideline to sideline. Burrow uses every inch of it because he throws those out routes so well.
Yep.
Tannehill.
Now listen,
I like Tannehill too. Don't get me wrong.
I saw Tannehill on my team for six, seven years, and he's got talent, but he's just limited.
Yeah, he threw two bad interceptions. One wasn't bad. He threw two bad ones, and of course the last one was.
The last one, he went to a guy that wasn't open.
Firkser
was open below. He would have had a first down if he threw it to him.
Eli Apple that got his hands on
it? I think it was.
Is it Eli?
Yeah.
Eli Apple. No, it was definitely Eli Apple that got he stuck his left arm in front of the receiver. Ball pops up. Oh, boy.
But I think my favorite story of the entire – I mean, the NFL divisional round was awesome. But when Joe Burrow talks about post-game about Evan McPherson, and that's a rookie kicker. And he was asked about him, and he said when they got in position to go for the field goal, Evan walks on the field and he says, well, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship. That's what Burrow said.
That's a 52-yarder. 52.
He says he goes on the field, well, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship. As he's walking onto the field rookie kicker kick a winning kick to go to the title game.
Oh, man. Well, that's legend
Cojones.
Stuff.
Oh, Cojones.
Man. Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's why it's weird. That team is so damn likable. If you aren't – I mean, again – all these teams, have a degree of likability, but the Bengals, just the fact they had not won a playoff game in 31 years, they've got a stud young quarterback for Nebraska. You got Zach Taylor at quarterback, at head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just so fun.
Yeah,
a likable squad.
That's an amazing story. You just told
Evan McPherson said, "Looks like we're going to the AFC Championship." He walks on the field to win the game, 52-yard kick.
52. That ain't easy, brother, on the road. Anywhere. Ain't easy in your backyard if you got a big backyard. If you got to have a big backyard.
He has not missed a kick this postseason either.
Oh, hello.
So
he was 4-for-4 in that
congrats
game.
Congrats to all of you fans who enjoyed that weekend of football. We hope the title games deliver the same drama this weekend.
Set it up again.
It'll be Chiefs hosting the Bengals. Okay. I don't know the times yet. These games will be announced today. And then the Rams are hosting the 49ers, which, if you recall, Sip, week 18 this year, the Rams were also hosting the 49ers, who had to win the game to go to the playoffs. Rams were up 17-0 in that game, and they're up by 7 late. And the Niners had a miracle drive to force overtime, which they won, and here they are now in the NFC title game.
We can't end this segment without mentioning Deebo Samuel. Incredible player.
Deebo Samuel, man.
Incredible
receiver
player.
/ he's a hybrid. He is officially a hybrid.
He is literally, like, he could just be an excellent running back.
His vision's really good.
Well, he's tough. He's a tough dude. And he's very unselfish.
When he does, like, that opening slash when he gets the ball at running back, it has, like, a Reggie Bush vibe to it.
Yeah.
To me. I've seen it, not all the time, but there's a couple times I'm like, dang, that's a Reggie Bush-esque right there.
Yeah, and he's willing
when
to do.
He goes up the middle, at least.
He does what he has to do to help his team win. That's what he does.
Yep. Well, we went way long there, so we'll have a very short.
Oh, we did go way long.
We'll have a very short next segment next on Early Break on the Ticket.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.